The reading is from Psalm 5, page 544. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my saying. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them from their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, for those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield.
Good evening. Should we just pray before we look into Psalm 5? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word this evening. Heavenly Father, may we be encouraged and taught from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can't start without me words, can I? Well, I could start, but I won't be able to finish. Okay. How's your prayer life? That's my question. How's your prayer life? I quickly checked back at home on my shelves, and these are a few of books on prayer on my shelves. A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Answering God, You Can Pray, and A Praying Life. And they will all say the same thing, that prayer is a child asking their father for help. Nothing more and nothing less. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it difficult. Hannah and Bod have been living with us for the past few weeks while they finalise the purchase of their new home. And Noah, their son, has no trouble in asking. He's no trouble in asking his dad, his mummy, his nana or granddad. Doesn't matter what you're doing, he's straight in there with his request. Can I paint? Can I go outside? And my difficulty supremely showed itself when Hannah was put into an induced coma following a simple operation going disastrously wrong. A time when she needed help, a time for me to cry out to my Heavenly Father. But I felt the voices within me cry out of the world to cry out. As me and Fiona Bod sat in a side room waiting, the voices said, it will be all right. In other words, you don't need to pray. What should I be doing? How can I help? In other words, I don't need your help, Heavenly Father. It's me that needs to get this under control. And yet at other times, in the ordinary, the everyday life, the non-threatening times, my cry for help went out to my Heavenly Father, and I praised him for he heard me. And tonight, as we look at Psalm 5 together, I want to look for encouragement from David to be the child who readily calls upon my Heavenly Father, and maybe this will be an encouragement for you. So let's turn to Psalm 5 in your Bibles. It's on page 544. And it begins with there, for the director of music for pipes. A psalm 4 was sung to be accompanied by string instruments, so it is thought that psalm 5 was to be accompanied by woodwind instruments. So this is one for the saxophone. Okay. So for the director of music for pipes, a psalm of David. And this is just to note, as we begin, that it could be questioned whether David actually wrote this psalm. If you look down with me to verse 7, it says, By your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down towards your holy temple. The temple was not built in David's lifetime. God's dwelling place amongst his people was a tent. David's desire was to build a house for God to dwell in, but God had declared that it wouldn't be David himself who would build it. So David knew that a house would be built, so he could have used these words, or someone later could have written this psalm, which was added to David's volume of psalms, or maybe the editors of the psalms at a later date updated the words. But I'm a simple man, and I'm happy to take it literally that this psalm was written by David. And that is helpful to me and to you, I think, that it helps us see that David has penned these words himself, a king, a man with power and authority, a king who needs to come in prayer, seeking the help from God, the Lord. And this is a morning psalm. Just cast your eye on verse 3. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. The previous psalm, psalm 4, the occasion was the evening, prayers for relief from distress. And the prayer concludes with David's confidence in God. Just look across at verse 8 in Psalm 4. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Even after a good night's sleep under the protection of God, at first light David comes crying for help to the Lord. Let's read verses 1 to 3 together. Not together, I'll read them to you. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. David, as he lays his requests, is like a child asking his father, a father who is his king and his God, almost as if David is tugging at the trousers of God. Listen, consider, hear. Wouldn't we be reminding David to say, please? This direct approach to God, our Heavenly Father, is ours in Christ Jesus. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have this direct access to our God through the Lord Jesus. It was Jesus himself who taught his disciples to address God in prayer as Father. So for me in the morning, I need to be thankful for the privilege of coming before God through Christ Jesus. In verse 2, David cries out to his king, my king and my God. We've met David's king before in Psalm 2. Just turn back to Psalm 2 and verses 1 to 6. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Against the Lord and his anointed, these verses are prayed by the early church in Acts chapter 4, showing us that the anointed is the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. The Lord Jesus, the King that God has installed on Mount Zion. David's King is our King. David's King is Jesus, and our King is Jesus too. In the morning, I need to remind myself of the greatness of King Jesus. The nations are his inheritance, and the earth is his possession. Jesus, the King, ruler of everything. So why is David crying for help to our King and our God? Let's just look at verses 8 and 9. Lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. David has enemies, and he's under some kind of threat or oppression. And we get a description of these enemies in verse 9. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave, and their tongues, they tell lies. With their tongues, they tell lies. And part of this verse is used by Paul in the book of Romans to describe the state of man. Just let me read to you from Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have come together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are an open grave, and their tongues practice deceit. Godless people, people under the power of sin. David is surrounded by godless people, people who suppress the truth, people who deny God, people who do not give thanks to God, and people who worship man-made gods. The danger is that David will be overwhelmed and become like them. Psalm 1 tells us that blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And rather than being blessed, David is in danger of being numbered amongst the wicked. On the surface, the problem doesn't sound that serious, but words can turn us away from God. Words that bring destruction upon us. It was the belief of a simple lie that Adam and Eve were led out of the presence of God. Did God really say? Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. And with their tongues, they tell lies. We have the same enemies as David. The sinful nature whispering such lies as, everything will be all right. The mocking of my friends as they twist the word of God. The voice of the world through the TV, radio, internet, the newspaper, whispering the lies. Did God really say? In the morning, I need to have my Bible open by my side. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. So what does David pray? Well, first of all, David talks through God's view of the problem, verses 4, 5, and 6. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful Lord you detest. The God is not pleased with wickedness. Evil people aren't welcome to God. Arrogant people cannot stand in God's presence. God hates all who do wrong and destroys those who tell lies. And he detests the bloodthirsty and deceitful. David reminds himself of who God is. God is different. God is a holy God. And these enemies of David cannot dwell with a holy God. With you, evil people are not welcome. And God destroys those that tell lies. And this is probably shocking to our ears. It's only a white lie, we say. I didn't want to hurt them as we avoid the truth. But it's a huge emphasis on the gap that separates God and man. God is different. God is a holy God. In the morning, as I pray to God, I will speak to him of who he is. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? David states his position before God in verse 7. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Because of God's great love, David stands in contrast to the people around him. Let's just compare verses 4 to 6 with verse 3 and verse 7. Verse 4 says, "For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness, but God has pleasure in David's presence." Verse 3, "You hear my voice." Verse 4, "With you, evil people are not welcome." Verse 7, "But I, by your great love, can come into your house." David is welcome. Verse 5, "The arrogant cannot stand in his presence." Verse 7, "In reverence I bow down towards your holy temple." David is different. Verse 5, "You hate all who do wrong." Verse 7, "But I, by your great love, have come into your house." David is loved. Verse 6, "You destroy all who tell lies." Verse 3, "I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." David lives. David's presence with God is not through his own goodness. He is no better than his enemies. We have the stories from David's life in 2 Samuel, and we know from 2 Samuel 11 how David lusted after Uriah's wife and slept with her. When he couldn't cover up her pregnancy, he had Uriah killed in battle. David was wicked. He was a man full of lies. He was bloodthirsty and deceitful. And yet David is welcomed into God's presence by God's own great love. And we too can be welcomed into God's presence. We too have the same privilege as King David. We too can be recipients of God's great love. God's great love has been revealed to us in his Son, King Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. "God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" Like David, we can come to God only through God's great love. "In the morning, I will give praise and thanks, for I am welcomed into God's presence. I praise him for his great love that sent Jesus to reconcile me through his death and resurrection." So let's look at David's prayer requests, which are in verse 8, 10 and 11. And we probably won't be surprised by them. David's first request in verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies." Your righteousness. Lead me in your righteousness. This is what David needs. If he is to be welcomed by God, if his cry for help is to be heard by God, if he is to live in the presence of God, if God is to be pleased with him, then he needs God's righteousness. Nothing of himself will be acceptable to God. And as we have read, he will be destroyed by God. But David prays for God's righteousness. That's what David needs. And that's what we need to be able to be in the presence of a holy God. And Paul again, having quoted from this psalm in Romans 3, to demonstrate that everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God, goes on in Romans 3:21. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness of God is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." A righteousness is given to all believers through faith in Jesus Christ. David prayed to be led in God's righteousness, and this righteousness has been given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. "In the morning, I will give praise and thanks for the privilege God has given me out of his great love, that I should be righteous in his sight through Jesus Christ. David's second request is in verse 8. Make your way straight before me. Your way, not my way. Your way, God's way. Being on the receiving end of God's great love, the response is to love him. And in loving him, our desire is to live his way. In the morning, my prayer will be, using Paul's words from 2 Thessalonians, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. David's third request is in verse 10. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. I said prayer is like a child asking their father for help. And if we heard a child speaking like this, perhaps we would be horrified. But David is praying in line with the will of God. God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. David's troubles arise like ourselves because we live in a world of those who take refuge in God and those who do not. A world in which there are those who, through God's love, have his righteousness alongside the wicked, the evil, the arrogant, the wrongdoers, the liars, the bloodthirsty, and the deceitful. David prays for the day when all sin will be cast out. He prays for God's kingdom to come, a day when David's own offspring will rule forever. Let me read to what God said to David from 2 Samuel 7. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and you rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David is praying for this kingdom to come. He's praying for God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the morning, I will pray for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. His fourth and final request is for those who are taking refuge in God. Verses 11 and 12. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. David prays for all of God's people. In his future kingdom, when sin has been cast out, there will be joy, singing, and rejoicing as God's people live with him under his protection. Such a contrast to David as he laments, as he cries for help to God. And what a lovely prayer for each other. So in the morning, I will use these words to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love you, that love your name, may rejoice in you. And finally, verse 3, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. He waits for God's response. And here it is in verse 12. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. This is a statement of fact. Notice the present tense. You bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Who are the righteous? The one who God loves, the one who have taken refuge in him, the one who has believed in the Lord Jesus. They are the ones that God blesses and favours, showing kindness beyond what is due. I can't help feel that David's crying has turned into gladness, singing and rejoice in. I try to teach myself from this psalm for my prayer time. And so in the morning, to recap, I will remind myself and give thanks to God for the privilege of coming before him through Christ Jesus. I'll remind myself of the greatness of King Jesus and praise him. I will do this with my Bible open by my side. I will talk with God about himself. I will thank him for his great love in Christ Jesus. I will thank him for the righteousness I have in Christ Jesus. I pray that I may follow God's way today. I pray for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done. And I'll pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ and take into the day the truth that surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield. Amen.